Money FM 89.3, the best of your money. Money and Me on Your Money, only on Money FM 89.3.
A very good morning. It's Yaul Raushan keeping you company on Money FM 89.3. And joining me in the studio is Dan Koh. Today we'll be turning our attention to safer investment instruments that have been making headlines over the past week, and that Singapore government bonds and fixed deposits.
And given the myriad of attractive rates offered by Singapore savings bonds, T-bills and fixed deposits, how then do we decide which instrument to choose from? And with mortgage rates in Singapore expected to rise further, should we be considering an early repayment to avoid incurring rising interest rates? Well, today we're happy to have on with us on the show Christopher Tan, CEO of Provident, to tell us more. Welcome to the show, Chris. How are you?
Hi, good morning. Thank you for having me.
Good to speak with you, Chris. Glad to have you on board. Now, to stay competitive in the fight for deposits, Singapore banks have been raising interest rates. Now, DBS raised the interest rate for its flagship multiplier savings account to up to 4.1% a year on the first 100,000 in a customer's account. OCBC followed suit, also increased its interest rates for its 360 savings account to an all-time high of 4.65%. That also is on the customer's first $100,000. And last month, UOB also raised its promotional interest rates for Singapore dollar fixed deposits to as high as 3% per annum for a 15-month duration. Now, Chris, my question to you is, with banks raising interest rates for fixed deposits and equities failing, should I keep cash and only deploy it in the markets when things are slightly clearer?
Yeah, that's a good question. I think it depends on which portion of your money you are referring to. Now, if it is the money that you may need to use in the short term or immediately, such as, for example, money set aside for emergency fund or to pay down, you know, the payment, down payment of a property purchase in the next 12 months or pay the tuition fee for children's education, then yes, I think you can consider fixed deposits because you have full liquidity. Or, you know, if someone is a retiree and need to set aside cash for the next few years in retirement, then yes, FD is a good option now. But if it is the money that, you know, one only needs, say, to use in, you know, 5 to 10 years or even longer, then I think it does not make sense just to put into fixed deposits. I think definitely one should look into investing in equities as it is the best instrument to beat inflation in the long term. And well, right now, you know, the prices have come down, the future expected returns have gone up.
Certainly, that's fascinating to know, Chris. Now, to that end, what are some of the risks that I should know of or be aware of if I want to invest now?
Yeah, I mean, with inflation likely to stay high for a while and interest rate continue to rise in the near term, well, the global economy may go into a recession, as we have, I mean, been hearing, you know, time and time again. And what it means is that if one is investing, he has to expect equities to remain volatile in the short term, with prices falling more than rising, and bond prices to fall with interest rate rising. So while this all means that, you know, in the long term, well, things may be good, well, I think one will have to expect the short-term volatility. Now, when I say in the long term, things look good because, as I mentioned earlier, you know, prices have come down. Yeah, so if you're investing right now, whether in bonds or equities, then you will have to expect, or you can expect your returns to be higher. Now, if you need liquidity in the short term, then I will say that these investments may not be suitable for you. But as I mentioned, you have to expect all this volatility in the short term.
Now, volatility is a word we often use on Money FM 89.3. But Chris, my question for you now is, if we were to invest, how should we then allocate our funds between equities and other safer investment tools that are available in the market?
Yeah, I mean, like I mentioned, you know, if you need your money in the short term, whether it is for emergency fund or if it is, you know, you are retiree and, you know, you need money to spend down immediately the next few years, then I'll say, please do not go and invest in equities because when I mentioned volatility, right, and with prices coming down more than it goes up, if you need money and you need to sell down, there's a double whammy because you are selling, you are consuming, but you're selling at a price that is bad.
I know what you mean.
So, yeah, so if you need money in the short term, please don't put money into equities. Short term, you can look into something like fixed deposits and other shorter term instruments. Well, if you only have got, say, midterm, you've got 5 years, then I would say your portfolio should have more bonds than equities, maybe something like, you know, 60 to 80% bonds, then the rest in equities. But if you have got a long-term horizon, whether you are a young person accumulating for the future, even if you are retiree, I mean, there are a portion of your money that you don't need until, say, maybe 10, 15 years later. Those things you can put into equities.
Right. Thank you so much for that, Chris. And, you know, just so we are aware of it, fixed deposits, you know, because this is the main bulk of the conversation today. We want to talk more about fixed deposits and safer investment tools. Now, fixed deposits accounts to low-risk investments that can earn you interest over a fixed commitment period that's usually around 6 to 12 months. But aside from fixed deposits, what are other safe alternatives that are available in the market that can help us to grow our wealth?
Right. I mean, now with the rising interest rate environment, I think one can also consider Singapore savings bond.
Right.
Like, what is a Singapore savings bond, right? So it's a saving instrument. It's not really a bond because it's not traded in a bond market. It's really a saving instrument that is issued by the Singapore government. It's a 10-year term with interest being paid biannually. Mm-hmm. And interest is based on an escalating rate. For example, the most recent Singapore Saving SSB that will be issued on 1st December 2022, the first 2 years, the interest rate is at 3.26%.
Wow.
And then the third and fourth year, it goes up to 3.28%, 3.58% respectively. And well, it remains 3.5% for the rest of the term. So you see it's on an escalating scale. Well, for the SSB, the good thing is you don't need a lot of money to subscribe to it. Minimum to subscribe is 500, and you can buy multiples of 500, meaning you can subscribe 1,000, 1,005, so on and so forth. But the one thing you have to take note is that the total amount you can hold at any one time cannot exceed 200,000. The capital is guaranteed if you redeem early, and you also won't lose interest. If you decide to redeem early, you just get prorated interest rate. Now, T-bills is the other option. I think every Singaporean right now is talking about T-bills.
Yes.
Right? So T-bills is, in short, Singapore government securities that has got less than 1 year to maturity.
Right.
So it can be a 3-month, 6-month, or a 1-year T-bill. So T-bills are actually really zero coupon bonds. You buy at a discount, and then you get a principal value at maturity. So for example, say the yield for a 1-year T-bill is 4%. So if you're going to, like, buy 1,000, you actually pay 960.
Oh, wow.
And after 1 year, you get back your 1,000. So you get your interest up front.
That's nice.
Minimum to subscribe is 1,000 in denomination of 1,000. Capital is guaranteed as long as you hold till maturity. So these two instruments are both, I would say, very safe. In fact, technically speaking, they are even safer than fixed deposits because they are backed by the Singapore government and they are good options to your fixed deposits.
Right, then talking about T-bills and SSBs as well, what are some of the risks that comes with, you know, early withdrawal?
Right. So T-bills is really a bond, right? But the thing about T-bill is you cannot, like, trade in the secondary market.
Yeah.
Right? If you want to sell it after you buy it, you have to go back to the bank that you buy from and then, you know, you sell it. But the thing about T-bill is this, right? It's ultimately still a bond. So the price fluctuates according to interest rate movement. So if you decide that after buying it, right, and wow, you suddenly need money in the short term, and before the T-bill mature, and you decide to sell it, you go to the bank and you sell it, well, you might lose capital, right, if you terminate early, right? Yeah, that's the thing about T-bill. That's the main risk about T-bill. But if you hold till maturity, then you don't expect to lose money.
Right. And then for SSBs as well, I believe that, you know, although there is no capital reduction, but there is a wait time of 30 days.
Yeah. So you're absolutely right. So it depends on when you need the money, when to sell it. Because the thing about SSB is that there is a day that you can transact. Like, you cannot just say, I want to sell it now, and you sell it now, because there is a sort of like a day that you can sell.
Okay.
Right. And so if you need your money like 1 month before that transaction, that range of transaction date, you after you put in the redemption, then you might have to wait up to 1 month. Right. So the liquidity is not as good. But a good thing about SSB, right, is that, well, if you want to sell, you will not lose your capital.
Right.
You will not lose your interest. Right. Whatever that the interest that is due to you, well, they will pay you prorated. So that's the good thing about the Singapore savings bond.
And it's great also. I mean, in fact, based on the latest interest rates they are offering, we basically secure 3.47% for the next 10 years, right?
That's right. If you hold till 10 years, then you get an average of 3.47.
Right.
So that's the Singapore savings bond. But, you know, the downside, the SSB downside, I call it, right? Because it's so popular now. A lot of people, they may not get the full amount that they want to buy. I think right now, if you want to buy the SSB, on average, Singaporeans are getting about maybe 9, 10, 11,000.
Right.
So if you want to put more like 20, 30,000, then SSB might be a problem for you.
Okay. That's good. All right. So what about for those who are above 55 years old? Should they then take out their CPF OA money and place it in FDs or T-bills instead?
Yeah, so this is a really important question to answer, right? Because everybody is looking at the CPF ordinary account interest rate and they go like, oh, it's only 2.5%.
Yeah, yeah.
Right? And T-bill is in excess of 4%, the 6 month T-bill in excess of 4% per annum, right? Mm. So they say, okay, why don't I take out my OA money and put in T-bill instead, right? Since it's higher than 2.5%. So, okay, I have to first clarify that whether one is above 55 or below age 55, yes, indeed, it is true that this might be a good time to consider optimizing your CPF ordinary account money and transfer your money and go and buy a T-bill.
Okay.
However, there are a few things that we have to take note, and it's so important to take note of these things. Right. So if you are above 55 years old listening to this, please don't take out your money from OA as cash and go and invest in T-bills. Mm-hmm. Because when the T-bills mature, right, they're going to pay you back in cash. And if you want to put it back into your ordinary account, you can't do that anymore. Right. Oh. So if you still want to use your OA money and buy T-bills, please invest it using your CPF investment scheme. Right. So when the T-bills mature, it goes back to your ordinary account. So if you're above 55 years old, please take note of that. Right. Of course, you're below 55, then, well, you can't take out as cash from your OA anyway. So you've got to use the CPF investment scheme. Right. The other thing that I really, really have to sort of like let people know is, please do not use 2.5% as the break-even rate to decide whether you should switch out from OA to buy T-bills. Right. So, I mean, this high interest rate environment will not go on forever. You know, slowly it will come down. T-bill will come down. But please do not use the 2.5% as the break-even rate. That might not be accurate. So let me give you an example. Mm. So in the upcoming issue of the 6 month T-bill, right, the auction date is actually 10 November,
right,
which is tomorrow. So this is the upcoming issue, and the issue date is actually 15 November. So on the 10th of November, they were sort of like, okay, go on auction and then decide who gets what.
Yep.
And then on the 15th November, you'll be notified that you're going to get it. Right. Now, for the 15 November issue, the maturity date 6 months later is 16 of May 2023.
Okay.
Right. So now that is a 6 month. But, well, because your money has left your OA account in total from November this year until May 2023, if you go and count it, the number of months your money is out from OA is 7 months.
Right.
Not 6 months.
Ah.
Right. Okay, so the break-even interest rate is actually 7 months divided by six, because it's a six-month T-bill. They are trying to calculate the break-even rate. Seven divided by six times 2.5%, it is 2.92%. So use 2.92% as the break-even rate, not the 2.5%, because your money is leaving your OA account for 7 months. You are losing the 7 months OA interest rate.
Mm.
So please take note of that. So I can't help but emphasize this, because a lot of people are thinking, oh, if it's anything about 2.5, I can buy T-bill. It is not the case.
Right. Yeah, that, I think this is something that we tend to overlook as well, because we look at it from eye to eye, apple to apple, you know, like 6 months is going to, we're going to assume that we're going to only be taking out of 6 months out of our OA as well, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. So it is not, right? So if you, like I've mentioned, if you, I mean, I know this is not easy to grasp over, you know, on air, but if you're going to re-listen to this, you understand that your OA money is leaving your account for 7 months. So the break-even interest rate needs to be higher. So it has to be 2.92% if it leaves for 7 months. There are some, you know, issues whereby there's a crossover month, meaning to say, for example, auction date is 27. If it, auction date is in October, but the issue date is in November, especially if the auction date is near the end of, say, October, for example, then the issue date is in November, your monies may be out of your ordinary account for 8 months.
Wow.
Right? So you need to use 8 divided by 6 multiplied by 2.5. So the new break-even rate is 3.33%. So I hope that brings some clarity. Don't just use 2.5% as the break-even rate to decide whether you want to move your money out from OA to buy T-bills.
Wow, that's absolutely fascinating. Thank you, Chris, for that explanation of all things to do with the OA account. Now, if you're just joining us, it's Money and Me, and we're speaking to Christopher Tan, CEO of Provident. Chris, I'd like to move it on to mortgages now. Last month, local lenders DBS, UOB and OCBC raised their fixed rate home loans, with rates reaching as high as 3.85%. While they have since removed their current fixed rate offerings, including some floating rate packages linked to their fixed deposit rates, these banks will be announcing new rates as early as later this week. Now, with mortgage rates rising so high, should we be paying down our loan or invest the cash that we have in the bank? I mean, by making early repayment, we are effectively saving 2.6 to about 4% in yearly interest payments?
Yeah. Wow. I mean, the mortgage rates are really crazy.
Yeah.
So, well, I think there are really three areas of consideration. Well, firstly, the first area of consideration is investment decision. So if you have cash and your cash is not giving you an interest or return higher than your mortgage rate, then you should be paying or repaying some of the mortgage loan. So that's the first area of consideration. The second area of consideration is what I call your financial decision. So with the rise of interest rate, if you find that your total debt service ratio, okay, which is your total debt repayment per month divided by your gross income, right? So if your total debt service ratio is reaching about 40 to 45% of your gross income, well, that's not healthy. You may want to bring it down by paying down some of your mortgage loans. Mm. But as you pay down your loan, do not pay down so much that you do not have sufficient cash for liquidity. The third area of consideration is what I call a life decision, right? Even if it's the right investment decision, and even if it's the right financial decision, right? So actually you should, you know, sort of like invest it and not repay your loan because, well, you are getting a much better return if you invest it and you are not overly in debt. And so from the investment and financial perspective, it suggests that, well, you should invest your money. But from a life decision, if paying down your loan gives you more peace of mind, then perhaps you should do so. So really consider it from these three areas.
Now, Chris, one thing I love about the way you answer our questions is there's so much clarity to what you say. So we are grateful for that. Now, to this end, I want to ask you a question which I'm personally interested in. Should I upgrade to a desired property now with property prices so high and interest rates climbing?
Yeah, so if you are simply upgrading, then you will be selling your property at a reasonably higher price before buying another property. So that seems fine. And no, but if you need to take a bigger loan to fund the purchase of your new property, then you want to make sure that you are not using more than 40 to 45% of your gross income to service your total loan, because that means you are too much in debt. So take note of that.
Okay.
And your total debt should not be more than 50% of your total assets. So you calculate all the total liabilities you have divided by the market value of all your assets, just to make sure that it doesn't cross 50%. But something that people tend to overlook, and that is, you know, even if you are able to cope with the repayment of this new mortgage and it's spending within your means, the question I think we really need to ask ourselves is, do we really need to buy that property? Will taking on this new loan affect your ability to save and
I need to check my wife that one, Chris.
Because I'm a great believer that, you know, sometimes we upgrade, you know, and then yes, we may be able to afford the loan. If I want to go and eat a good meal at a restaurant and I have to think a few times, and then if I want to go for holiday...
100%, I understand what you mean.
Right, yeah. Then I think it's not worth it to upgrade it.
So the key number for today for mortgage rates is 40%. Make sure it doesn't exceed that, right? So
Total loan,
yes.
Mortgage plus your other loans like your car loans and all that doesn't cross 40 to 45% of your gross income.
Right. Now, very quickly, Chris, so now that we've mentioned everything from FDs, you know, SSBs to T-bills and mortgage, how should we look at all the above decisions in light of a possibility of a recession?
Yeah, I mean, in the current environment, with high interest rate causing an increase in our expenses and a possible recession looming, as you mentioned, I think firstly, we need to make sure that we have sufficient emergency fund.
Right.
And so your emergency fund, which, well, should be about 3 to 6 months of your monthly expenses.
Yep.
Well, make sure you have it. And the good thing is there are now a lot of options to park these emergency funds, as we have mentioned, fixed deposits, SSB, T-bills. So that's the first thing. The second thing is you may want to rebudget to keep your expenses manageable. Because with expenses going up, well, you have lesser surplus. So see if you can find cheaper alternatives. Always spend below your means. And the third point here I'm going to share with everyone is try very hard to keep our job. I mean, if you think that changing a job may cause, you know, instability, this is not a good time. Because if you take care of these three areas, well, this thing will pass. It's short term, right? This current so-called crisis is short term. These things will pass. You take care of it well. whatever investments you have got, you would be able to have the ability to weather the volatility and stay invested for the long term.
Wonderful. That was a very great breakdown of all the things that we need to take note of in a case of a recession in the next few months or perhaps one or two years. Thank you so much, Christopher. Today, we've been speaking to Christopher Tan, CEO of Provident, and he's been sharing all things from fixed deposits to Singapore savings bonds and even mortgage, and if you should be making an early repayment today.
That's absolutely fascinating. Christopher, thank you so much for your time.
Thank you. My pleasure.
All right, listeners, we hope you've enjoyed our conversation with Christopher Tan. Do remember to check out the various different podcasts on monetary advice on Omni and Spotify on Money FM 89.3.
Before acting on the information on Money FM, please consider if it's suitable for your own investment objectives, financial situation, and risk tolerance. To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download our audio app. That's AWEDIO. Available on Google Play or the App Store.